Well, hey everyone. I'm looking forward to the next 3 weeks. One of the reasons is that we are starting a series that is very, very different than what we've done in quite a while. And I just want to set the stage for you in it. And I'm really hoping you'll join us for all of these next weeks, this week and the next two. You know, this past year, I was doing something here at the house. Becky and Sarah were using our truck, and I got a call, and they were a little bit upset. Becky was, that the truck wouldn't start, and you know, I couldn't do anything about it right then. I wasn't able to get with them, so I said, well, call AAA. We've been AAA members for a long time. I mean, for the most of our lives, we've had cars that you just never knew if they were going to make it or not. So AAA's been great to us. So anyway, had them call AAA, and it was the truck battery. Truck batteries are not inexpensive. The guy came out and looked at it, and then he did something that just completely surprised me. It still does. He said, "You guys have been such good, loyal customers with AAA. We're going to give you this battery for free." Now, we're talking, you know, $150, $200 battery. Came out, replaced it, everything worked fine. And it was such a surprise. But that expression of gratitude, among other things, has made me just continue to be even more loyal customer. Gratitude has a lot of power to it. And we're going to be looking at this in our series. This past Wednesday, we were redoing a recording for our Monday prayer night. And I'll tell you, if you haven't been doing the Monday prayer nights, I hope you'll join us this coming Monday. It's so good. It's about forgiveness. But we started off, Kim Feld read a passage from Psalm 103. Listen to this. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Some of the other translations will say blessings or the good things God has done. The idea here is that we ought to have infused in our prayer life and in all of our life this attitude of gratefulness. So this series is called Project Gratitude. In it, we're going to look at how God created you and me and how he created us to experience peace, courage, strength, rest, endurance, greater health, and joy, no matter what our circumstances are. And this is really important. Too many times we base how we're doing, what reality is, on our circumstances, and we're missing it. We're going to be looking today at some neuroscientific evidence that supports this benefit of gratitude. So here's my ask. I am asking that every one of you be a part of this whole series. If you can be with us on campus Sundays at 11, that'd be great. If not, do the live stream Saturday 5:30, 9 and 11, whatever you're doing right now. If your schedule doesn't allow you to stay on a schedule like that, then do the on-demand. But please, whatever you do, I'm encouraging you not to miss any one of these three. I think for us as a church, for you and I individually, and for our nation, this is critical. We're at a time where people are hurting, they're angry, they're frustrated, and we have a way to address that in a healthy way. I want you to ask someone to join you. Some of you may be watching this with others right now or as a family. Ask someone to join with you in this series and do the take-home sheet together. It could be a friend, could be a family member, it could be someone in your small group. The way we do it here at the Quorum House is Becky and I work through these messages. In fact, we do it, and then we're also doing a thing called Dig In. We do this every Wednesday at 12. You can join us on Facebook Live, and we discuss some of the implications of these messages and the verses we've looked at. So find someone that, my small group, Wednesday morning, our men, what we do each week is we go through whatever the message was the weekend before, and we look at what is the practical application of this? What are the things that are difficult? What questions do we have? How can we get through this well? So anyway, there's my ask. I hope you will make this a priority. And let's just get into the message now. Understand this. God isn't merely trying to get you and me to be positive thinkers. He wants us to have faith-filled lives. Faith-filled living is much more, it's much different than positive thinking. It's where you and I entrust everything in our life, the big things and the little things, the things that are going good, the things that are going bad, the things that are easy, the things that are hard, the things that we understand, the things we don't understand. That our life is infused with this trusting Him. That's what faith-filled means. God never promised you and I are going to have a life that is simple, that is easy, that is comfortable. He's never promised that He's going to eliminate all the difficulties. Of course He hasn't. You're going to see this in some of the passages today. But what He has promised is that by trusting Him, we will have lives that as we go through them, as we look back on them, we will say, that was worth it. It was really worth everything that I experienced and went through as I trusted Jesus. It was not a waste. So along the way, let me mention too, our resident artist, Becky, has come up with this guy. You might see him again. You use binoculars because you're trying to focus on something specific. We have woods behind our house, and there are times when there'll be a hawk or an owl, fox, or we have deer, and I'll pull out the binoculars so I can get a closer look at that one thing. If I wanted just a general view, I can do that, but binoculars help me to specifically focus on something, and that's what we're doing on this project, Gratitude. You know, gratitude has side effects that God created you and I to enjoy. This is not just a gutting it out. There's some real benefits to this. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're commanded this. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do you know the times when we do not choose gratitude, we actually can limit the impact of the Holy Spirit in our life? This passage is an active passage. It's saying, do this, do that. It's making deliberate choices to direct our thinking toward God. Just like our buddy here with the binoculars, he's directing his vision towards something in specific. And it means I'm going to direct my thinking toward God and what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. I want to tell you a few of the benefits of gratitude. I'm just going to do some excerpts here. And these are from non-Christian publications. I'm going to read from three sources. One is Psychology Today. Another is a Harvard publication called Harvard Health. And another is research that was done at the University of Southern California. So I don't have time to read all of the research. So I'm just going to pick and choose a few things here. I've got much more than I could ever use. This first is from Psychology Today, a guy named Alex Korb, who was a PhD that did the research. And he said, and he's writing this article, he goes, I wanted to focus on the one Turkey Day, is what he calls it, the Turkey Day tradition that has the power to reshape, listen to this, your neural pathways. He's not just saying just to make life feel a little better. He's actually saying that there is a neurological impact to being grateful. He said, it's right here in the name Thanksgiving. Giving of thanks, also known as gratitude. Gratitude, particularly if practiced regularly, can keep you healthier and happier. And he goes on to cite four studies. One of these studies is these researchers gave a group of adults a daily journal, and they asked them to do these things. One was what they are grateful for. These adults were to keep a journal of what they're grateful for. Another group was given a journal just to write down things that annoyed them or reasons they were either annoyed them or things that they were better off than others. So the first group, things they're grateful for, they keep a journal. The second group, things that annoyed them or ways they were better off than others. The ones that kept the gratitude journal, things they were grateful for, listen to this. They showed a greater increase of determination, attention, enthusiasm, and energy compared to the other groups. Think about that for just a minute. You and I have been attuned, especially in this past several months, to think about what we're not happy about, what we're not grateful for, what we're against. I'm not saying that we should be blind to the things that are going on around us that need attention, but to regularly practice gratitude, according to this research, had a huge implication on these adults. These same researchers had another group that they did similar study with, and they came out, this group had a measurable greater sense of optimism. They also had a reduction in physical ailments. They had fewer aches and pains. So there was a neural, medical, chemical change in them. He found that higher levels of gratitude were associated with this. Listen to this. Higher levels of gratitude associated with better sleep and lower anxiety and depression. He went on to say there's a wide variety of effects. This is again from the Psychology Today. A wide variety of effects that gratitude can have that may seem surprising, but a direct look at the brain activity gives us insight. He said there was a study that came out by the National Institute of Health, and they examined blood flow to various brain regions when subjects summoned up gratitude. They found that the subjects who showed more gratitude overall had higher levels of activity in the hypothalamus. Now, I don't know much about the brain, but the hypothalamus controls a huge array of bodily functions, and it says here, including eating, drinking, and sleeping. It has a huge influence on our metabolism and stress levels. And with gratitude, it increased blood flow to this region of the brain, which ended up having strong impact in a positive way. He goes on to say that feelings of gratitude directly activated brain regions associated with the neurotransmitter dopamine. Dopamine feels good to get, which is why it's generally considered the reward neurotransmitter. He said, so when people were practicing gratefulness, that their body excreted more of this dopamine. And the advantage of the dopamine is interesting because when you have a hit of dopamine, you want more. And so what it does, it's a healthy way for us to be driven to something that is good for us. I might use some more of his research later. Let me go to a Harvard study. This is Harvard Health. And they did some similar research. They found similar results. But there's a few other things. They found that the benefits of gratitude when they did it with these test subjects lasted long after a month. So once they finished the project of journaling their gratefulness, there was a long-term impact, or at least a mid-term impact of it. He said there was another research that found that gratitude helped relationships. They did it, and they found that couples that took time to express gratitude to their partner not only felt more positive to the other person, but felt more comfort in expressing concerns in their relationship. So what gratitude does is it paves the way to be able to address problems that otherwise might have been divisive. The researchers at the School of Wharton, this is really interesting, or the Wharton School from Harvard, they said that they had two groups, and these were people that were doing fundraising. So they divided the fundraisers into two groups. One group made phone calls to solicit alumni donations in the way they always had. The second group, though, were assigned to work on a different day. And each of those days, their managers gave them a pep talk to the fundraisers and expressing how grateful they were for these people doing the fundraising. During the following week, so you got two groups, one group that just did fundraising calls normally, the other group that were given deliberate gratitude pep talks by their managers. It said, during the following week, the university employees who heard the message of gratitude made 50% more fundraising calls than those who did not. Again, I'm not saying we ought to use this in a, we don't want to manipulate people, but just in a work environment, gratitude can help. But we'll see more of that later on. A couple of other things that I want to mention too. This is from University of Southern California. They found benefits when they did the research on gratitude. Benefits associated with gratitude include better sleep, more exercise, reduced symptoms of physical pain, lower levels of inflammation, lower blood pressure, and a host of other things. A guy, Dr. Glenn Fox, who was doing the research on this, and he was one of the first to do the real significant brain studies related to gratitude. He found links between gratitude and brain structures tied to social bonding and stress relief. So there's just tons. I can do more of this later, but here's the thing. There's empirical evidence that you and I choosing to be grateful is good for us. It helps us personally. It helps us to prevent problems. It helps us to reduce symptoms. It changes kind of our, not just our mental perspective, but it has impact all the way through, from blood pressure to sleep to all this kind of stuff. God created us this way. He wanted you and I to have lives that are fulfilling and lives that are good. And he knew that we're going to be under all kinds of circumstances, but he didn't want us to be hamstrung by them. Here's another intriguing verse, Ephesians 5:20. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes you'll hear people say, you'll say, I'm really sorry you're going through that, and they say, it's all good. Well, no, things aren't all good. There are a lot of bad things. But this passage is teaching us that in the midst of everything going on, God is still very active, and he's working, and he wants us to trust him in the midst of it. I've got some very close friends, one that passed away not long ago, but whenever I would call them, I've got four of their names written down. I'm not going to tell you their names. But whenever I talk to them, I'll say, how's it going? And invariably they'll say, so much better than I deserve. Or I just can't imagine life being better. And then I'll dig a little deeper and I'll find out one of them's dealing with cancer. One of them's got some serious problems going on in their relationships or health or other areas. But they always start off with a sense of gratitude for the life they have. They are followers of Jesus, they trust God, and they realize that circumstances come and go, but their well-being, their sense of where their life really stands is not based on their circumstances. And when I'm around these people, it puts wind in my sails. Again, we'll talk about that more next week, but gratitude is an antidote to problems, and it's also a way, it's a vaccine for some problems, but it also is a soothing way to get through things. And I just hope that you'll hear me when I say this. Regardless of our circumstances, gratitude is always called for. Let me say it one more time. Regardless of our circumstances, gratitude is always called for. When I accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord, the man that had a huge influence on me at the time, he was a funny guy. He was kind of a comedian. And remember, he said something I've not forgotten all these years. He said, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, how are you doing? And they responded, well, okay, under the circumstances. He paused for a moment. He looked at that person and said, well, what are you doing there? It's a little bit funnier when you say it to somebody, but the reality is if you and I aren't careful, what we do is we live our lives based on our circumstances. And if my circumstances aren't going good, boy, I'm just bad. If things are going well, I'm happy as I can be. And so we're almost like on a roller coaster based on the circumstances, situations around us. The Bible is not blind to struggles that you and I are going to go through. We are always going to have things that are going to come up that are going to be difficult and hard, painful, and challenging for us. But our gratitude and the benefits that come from that are not based on circumstances. We need to be so careful with this. I want to give you an example. In the book of Acts, the early church has started. Jesus has been resurrected. He has sent out his church, and they have been met with some appreciation. The church is growing. Many people are accepting Christ, but they're also enemies, and those that want to have them, they had Jesus killed. They thought that would end it. It didn't. Now they're trying to take out all of the leaders of the early church. And so a couple of the apostles, a couple of Jesus' disciples have been arrested. They've been beaten. They've been told to shut up, never talk about Jesus again. They, interestingly, respectfully refused to give in to that, knowing what it would cost them. It said here that after their arrest, it said they called in the apostles and had them flogged or beaten. Then they ordered them never to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Well, they didn't take those instructions. It goes on to say this. It says, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. So here they are. They're beaten. They're still bleeding. They're bruised. But yet they were able to rejoice. Because they were beaten? No. But because they were counted worthy. God loved them. God brought them into his family. And part of that meant they were going to take on the same adversaries that took on Jesus. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of seeing things in a way that maybe our emotions or our natural tendency wouldn't lead us. Even in enduring pain and loss and injustice, God is still powerfully working in and through us as long as we let him. I want to read to you from Paul. Paul was a remarkable leader in the early church. He started churches all around the known country at the time. And he suffered almost immeasurably. He was beaten multiple times. He was falsely imprisoned. He was lied about. He was disrespected in ways that you and I just couldn't even fathom. And listen to what he says about all this. He's writing to a group of Christians. He doesn't want them to be discouraged because of the suffering that has come his way and is coming their way. This is in 2 Corinthians. He goes, all of this, the difficulty we've been through and the suffering, is all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. In other words, what we're doing has cost us, yes. We're dealing with pain and loss and injustice and persecution, but at the same time, people are getting to know about Jesus. They're hearing about this God that we love and serve, and it's worth it. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. And understand this in the perspective of eternity. The 70, 80, 90 years we get here will seem like a blip. An important blip, yes. But in the scope of eternity, it will seem like a small amount of time. So he says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And the things that we cannot see are all of God's purposes in the midst of what we're dealing with right this minute. Please, please don't let your circumstances rob you of living a faith-filled life. We're getting close to the end, and I want to close with this, and this is tied into the assignment on the take-home sheet that I hope you'll get someone to join you with. Gratitude requires, an effective life of gratitude requires diligent searching, watching, and remembering. I'm going to read to you again from Paul, because this is an antidote for us, because we live in a culture that is very attuned to whining, grumbling, and complaining, and to allow our circumstances to dictate what's going on in our life. Either, well, I'm doing really well because I've got a great job, I've got money, and all this kind of stuff, or I'm doing horribly because my person didn't win the White House and I don't have this, 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 and this. God wants us to not be robbed of a healthy, powerful perspective. The same Paul that I read to you a moment ago when he wrote to church in Corinth, Paul writes another letter. He writes it to a church in Philippi. When he was there, he and Silas, when they started that church, in the midst of starting it, they were arrested on bogus charges. They were beaten. They were jailed, treated horribly. And all the people there knew it. It was very public. This same group of Christians in Philippi have also endured their own suffering. And because of their putting their trust in Jesus, it's cost them. And then Paul along the way, as he's left, they got the church started, and now he's in another jail. He is hounded by adversaries constantly. But I want you to listen to what he tells this church as he writes them. And they know his circumstances. They know what it was like when he was there and started the church. They know what he's going through now. And he goes this in Philippians 4. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Gratitude is fueled by us searching and holding on to and remembering the good things God has for us now, the things he's done in the past, things he's doing now, and the things that will come. That's why we have our focus on those things that matter. This passage is, it's really, really powerful, and it's one I hope you'll focus on with us as we do the take-home sheet. So let me close with this. Even if everything in your life right now feels broken and hopeless, and you can't see a good future, you can't see how things could get better, maybe you feel like there's no one you can count on, no one that really understands, no one that cares. It may be that you've made a real mess and you've been told you're a failure. You feel like you are, and there is just nothing to look forward to, nothing to be grateful for. No matter what, I want you to hear this. Jesus is right here, right now, and he offers you and me a brand new life, a brand new beginning. He offers us forgiveness, which is what we'll talk about this coming Monday night at our prayer night. He offers us hope. He offers us peace. And when we choose to be grateful for what he's offered us and align ourselves with him right now, all the benefits we've talked about are ours. There is something to really be grateful for, starting with Jesus. I've asked Brandon Pendleton, who's a good friend, I've asked if Brandon would close us in prayer. Brandon?
Hey, what's up, family? Let's go to the Father in prayer. Dad, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your strength, and thank you for your truth. Thank you for the message this weekend about gratitude, the importance of us being able to be thankful in all things, Lord, no matter what we face or what we experience in life. God, I thank you that our praise and our worship to you, God, and our appreciation to you, God, is truly a weapon against that we can use against the devil to fight any kind of plans that he tries to come to cancel us, to try to rob us of our joy, try to kill our spirit to live, to our desire, our hunger to engage, Lord God, our hunger or desire to be all that you called us to be. God, thank you. Thank you for the reminder that there's power in the words that we speak, and there's power in gratitude, and there's power in renewing and hope that exists with this being thankful in all things. Father, I pray that your word would just take root, and truly, as your word declares, God, it won't return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it out to do. So thank you for the purpose of us hearing this message this weekend. It was timely for me. And I know for a fact, God, it was timely for others. Thank you, and I love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take care, fam. God bless.